Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Dr. Paul Esposito, and I thank you for joining us here today, friends. Happy Friday to you, finally. Thank God it's Friday. Hope you have a wonderful weekend here in store. This Sunday, I invite you out to Island Community Church. If you're looking for a church home, why don't you come by and visit and be a part of what God is doing at our church. He's been doing an awesome work ever since the COVID started, and we've made that decision to keep our doors open and to continue to do what we do at the church. And God has honored and has blessed that, and He's been doing a great work. I invite you this weekend. My sermon, we're wrapping up 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll be looking at the whole chapter. We'll be looking at Peter's admonition and warning against Satan, that he walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know, when a lion roars, they say it's to paralyze his prey. That's what we're going to look at least that's where we're going to get started here this week. So love to see you. Again, Sunday morning, 10:30. We're at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. I'm pleased to announce our app is up and running. That streams the service, if it's working right, that is. At 10:30, that app will go live. You can find it as Island Community Church FL, like Florida. And you can find it in either in the App Store or in the Google Play. You can download it on your tablet as well. You can give from there and support the church. That would be greatly appreciated. Watch the service. There's an audio Bible on there. So also Wednesday night, 6 o'clock, we're in the book of Revelation, but more on that in the middle of the week. Here in this weekend, I pray everyone has a wonderful weekend. God bless you. Love to see you on Sunday. Here now, playing today, and we'll probably wrap this up Monday, is a sermon out of the book of Acts that I preached toward the end of last year. Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost.
The title of this message, the day of Pentecost. Off to a fantastic start here in the book of Acts, aren't we? I will have, starting next week, CDs of every week on the back table from this message through this series in Acts. In addition to that, Pastor Darren is going to be teaching the same thing from this morning, next Sunday morning in Sunday school, from 9:30, actually 9:15, share a cup of coffee and a donut in the back here. And then from 9:30 to 10:15, what I didn't have time to look at today, or if you have questions from today, write them down, bring them with you next Sunday morning. So he will be on the day of Pentecost next week, amongst other things. Like perhaps you might have a question about what I said last week about an apostle. Maybe you know someone who calls himself an apostle. That is, you know, the kind of questions you can write down, bring with you next week. And right here in today's text, we're going to find out how apostles were chosen A.D. Because B.C., or I should say D.C., during Christ, the Lord Jesus himself chose apostles. John 15:6, he says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." This is why you won't find in your Bible instructions for how to choose an apostle. Am I right, Rob? You do for the other offices, but not for an apostle, because Jesus chose the apostle. Now, when an apostle died, they had a predicament on their hand. What were they going to do? We're going to going to see how they chose an apostle, what they did. And that's where we're going to start today, as a matter of fact. We're in the book of Acts. We're in chapter 1. Going to pick it up in verse 15. And bear with me today if I hit the bottle a lot today. I'm slightly under the weather here this morning. We're going to see if we can work through this. Acts chapter 1, verse 15. Now in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Altogether, the number of names was about 120. And he said, "Men and brethren, this scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke." All right, who spoke? Who spoke it? "Of which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained a part in this ministry." All right, two things. Once again, take notice that David's words to us in the Bible are supernatural. Peter is saying here, the Holy Spirit spoke by the mouth of David. Now, David said the same thing. Let me read it to you. 2 Samuel 23, verses 1 and 2. That's on your handout, too. On the handout, all of these verses that I give reference to. You can look them up later if you in your own personal study time. 2 Samuel 23, verse 1. David wrote this. He says, "Now these are the last words of David. Thus says David, the son of Jesse. Thus says the man raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist in Israel." Listen to what he says. Quote, "The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and his word was on my tongue." Unquote. Stop and consider that, what David said. David's words are supernatural. Listen to what he said. Now, keeping that in mind, follow along some of the things that the Holy Spirit says to you through David. Look at what he said when his child died. He says, "My son's dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." Now you can take that statement to the bank. Have you ever lost a child before? "I shall go to him." This isn't David just attempting to comfort someone. This is the Holy Spirit speaking through David. "I shall go to him. Your child's preceded you up into heaven. And when you die and leave this world, or if he comes back, you're going to see him again." He's speaking by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, because King David's writings to you are supernatural. You know, if you believe what I said, you might do something different today when you get home. You might spend an hour reading the Word. It's supernatural. This is what Peter wrote. He said, "Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." Paul said, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God." He invented a new word. He put theos, that's God, and pneuma, that's spirit, together and made one word out of it. The NIV's got the closest way of it's God breathed. Theopneustos. Pneuma is the proper word for spirit. Theos is God. Every word of God is God breathed. All of scripture is God breathed. David's words are supernatural. He wrote this too about God. Listen to this in Psalm 18, verse 8. He says, "Smoke went up from his nostrils, and devouring fire from his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also, and he came down with darkness under his feet. He rode upon a cherub." and flu. Get your mind around that. This isn't David giving his kid a bedtime story. This is the Holy Spirit speaking through him. He rode upon a cherub and flew. He flew on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His canopy around him was dark waters and thick clouds of the skies from the brightness before him. His thick clouds passed with hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. How much would you give to have witnessed that? What's it worth to you? I can only imagine what that must have just been like to witness something like that. But I say all this so that you will remember that the Word of God is special. It's living. It's active. It's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's the Word of God. And this is why once this book came out, other things ceased. Apostles ceased. Prophets ceased. Because you've got it all right here. You got the Word of God complete. God's instructions for you are complete. They're right here. All the way up until the very end when New Jerusalem comes down out of heaven. Basic instructions before leaving earth. It's all right here. It's your spiritual food. Man shall not live by bread alone. It's your weapon. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. How do you beat the devil? It's with this book. The Word of God is the word rhema, not logos. You don't sort of say to Satan, well, I read it here one day that... No, it's the spoken Word of God. What comes out of your mouth? Next time Satan reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. That's the quickest way to get rid of the devil. Remind him where he's going when he leaves this world. And since Jesus was taken up, like we looked at last week, and they're standing up, so the same Jesus will come back in like manner, this whole earth is on high alert now. Satan's time is this close. That's why he's turned up the heat here. And we see so much evil in this world. Because he realizes he has but a short time. And I actually question whether or not he has been kicked out of heaven now with great wrath, like Revelation 12 tells us is going to happen. Maybe it has. I don't know. Would not surprise me. Now, verse 18, and the death of Judas Iscariot. Now, this man purchased a field with the wages of iniquity. And falling headlong, he burst open in the middle and all of his entrails gushed out. And it became known to all those dwelling in Jerusalem, so that the field is called in their own language, Akeldama, that is the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, all right, meaning even the death of Judas is foretold. No surprise. If the death of Christ is foretold, why be surprised if the death of Judas is? Let his dwelling place be desolate, and let no one live in it. And let another take his office. They're probably both on the handout that I gave you. Yes, it is. Psalm 69, verse 25. And Psalm 109, verse 8. David is the greatest prophet who's ever lived. He really was. These incredible things that he wrote. Now, let another take his office. Office is the Greek word episkope. Let's call it episcope. Greek word for bishop. You got telescope, microscope. Here you've got episcope, overseer, bishop, literally what I am here, what a pastor of a church is, an overseer. Sometimes they were in charge of more than one church. Hence the phrase today, really, we see bishops as someone maybe that travels over a small group of, you know, maybe all the churches in one city, a bishop. But in the Bible here, in the first century times, the bishop was the pastor of a church. So, first of all, we learn that Judas's betrayal was written about in the Old Testament, and it was foreordained. Imagine that. Now let's see what they did to choose a replacement for him. Verse 21. Now therefore, of these men who have accompanied us, all the time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to that day in which he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. To be an apostle, you had to be an eyewitness, Bob, of his resurrection. 1 Corinthians 9:1 says the same thing. Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus Christ? You had to see him with your own. I've said it how many times? I'm blue in the face saying that here. To be an apostle, figuratively I say, you had to know the color of Jesus' eyes to be an apostle. Otherwise, you're not qualified because you've missed the message of what an apostle is. He saw Jesus Christ alive after he had died. And he says, now you go and take this message. You go and take this message to New Jersey. You've seen him alive. Go on every door, knock on doors. Go to where they meet in churches and you tell them, I have seen Jesus Christ with my own eyes. This was the message and the weight an apostle carried. It's not someone that was chosen at a church service. You don't sit around eating linguine and then choose an apostle. Jesus chose them. All except one. Even the apostle Paul was chosen by Jesus after he died. Okay. And not only that, Jesus gave them special and unique power, as we're going to see in the coming weeks. All right, so they proposed to Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justice, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, you, O Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take part in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. So they cast their lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11. Now, I'm going to remember that next time I go to the track. How'd they pick an apostle? Well, they got out the, what's that board called again with the things and you put them on top there? You roll the dice and the, backgammon. They played backgammon to choose an apostle. Imagine that. They chose lots. Maybe, why do they do that? I don't know. Maybe they remember what is written in the Old Testament. That's right. That's even written in the Old Testament. Ron, you want to make sure they... Proverbs 16:33. It says, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. That is how they did it back then. There was no New Testament to follow. Now verse 25 says that Judas fell so that he might go to his own place. His own place being hell, according to John MacArthur. All I can say is this, that we are not only destined, but according to the Bible, we are predestined. That is, our destiny has been determined beforehand. Our destiny has been determined beforehand. We're reading in this Bible, everything's been predestined beforehand. And for you, being a Christian is pretty good news, if you ask me. I mean, think about it. There's 7.3 billion people in the world. And looking around me, I'm afraid it's just the 0.3 are believers. And the 7 billion aren't. Aren't you grateful your name's in the book? Because if you were predestined to hell, then all the preaching in the world couldn't save you. You'd be like all the other 6 billion. I'll come down a billion. We'll make it 6. And this Iscariot sat at the feet of Jesus, and he still sold him out for 30 Eisenhower dollar coins. This was how they did it back then again. No New Testament to follow. They couldn't open up to 1 Timothy. Well, nowhere is it written how to choose an apostle, but how to choose a pastor and a deacon, it's written in the Word of God. Gives you guidelines on how to choose a replacement. Okay, on to the day of Pentecost and the subject heading, the coming of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 2, verse 1. It says, now when the day of Pentecost had fully come. And by the way, not a moment too soon, or not a moment late either. This was going to happen on a high holy day, Pentecost. God is exact in his dealings with us. Everything happens for a reason, and they happen right on time. God's never early. He's never late. He's seldom early. Remember, even the birth of Jesus says this. It says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. And now here, it's the same idea. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his spirit. Isn't that funny how the word full is used in both texts? Think about it. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son. Now here it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come. Isn't that funny? The word full is here again. When the fullness of time had come, God sent the Holy Spirit. So I'm wondering, and I haven't had time to formulate this thought. Maybe the same thing is going to apply when he comes back again. Will the word full be when he comes back again? I'll tell you what, that's in the Bible. Romans chapter 11, verses 26 and 27. It says, blindness has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Once the last Gentile, you or someone back there, once the last one believes, God's going to shut the door. At the fullness, and fullness is a number. It's not a time. Well, it's a number. Once that number is hit, that's when you read all of these terrible things, all these warnings in the Bible, where the Lord gets up and shuts the door, and people knock at the door, ask him to open, and he says, it's too late. Strive to enter through the narrow gate, because many, I say to you, will try to get in and will not be able. Once the master of the house has risen up, and what's it say? Shuts the door. That's going to happen. Maybe it's your son that's got to believe. You ever stop to think about that? Good. You don't want them with the 6 billion that don't. Once that number is hit, God shuts the door. So seeing full for when the Son was born, seeing full for the day the ministry of the Holy Spirit started, it seems to me the word full might be used again when Jesus comes back. So the job for me is to find where that is in the Bible. Makes sense. But that's just me.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Life Recaptured realized that there were no safe homes here in Brevard County for human trafficking victims. So now, having our first safe home, we needed to be able to sustain that home. So we have now opened a store at 5515 North Courtney Parkway, Merritt Island. That is 5515 North Courtney Parkway in Merritt Island. And I just want to let you know that everyone there volunteers. So every penny that we get goes to turn on the electricity and to feed the girls. So, Lori, you've been in the store.
Oh, yes, the store is absolutely amazing. You've got to come check it out. You won't even believe it's the former Christopher Lee Grove storehouse. Come see it. Brandy, give us the phone number also to reach out.
1-866-321-5515. 866-321-5515. We need your help. There's so many things that we could use, volunteer, household items, and, of course, money always helps.